Everyone to the February 26th Conservation and Climate Outreach Commission meeting. I found out that the Tree Commission has a gavel.
Oh. Ooh, why don't we get a gavel?
Reusable water bottle gavel.
Some of the commissions even have nameplates so they know who everyone is.
We have
nameplates. Oh, we do have nameplates.
We do, I forgot
that. So the first item of business is the consent agenda for January 22nd meeting minutes. Everybody read the minutes?
Risa would like it reflected that she was planning on attending the Tree Commission meeting to bring up the topic of best practices when wildlife and cutting down trees affect other wildlife. And I think I just put down cutting down trees affect wildlife. So she would like that reflected and changed.
Is there a motion to approve the minutes as suggested, amended?
I so moved.
Second.
Second.
All right. Thank you. Let's see. The announcements will be next. Next meeting, March 25th. Say, pardon?
Do you want to vote real quick?
Have a what?
Do you want to vote real quick?
Oh, on the what?
The motion.
Oh, I thought we didn't have to do that for consent. Okay, let's vote on the consent agenda, please. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay.
Well, did we just vote on the approving the minutes?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you for your
reminder. Afterwards.
So next meeting, March 25th, same time and place. Please let us know if you can't be here because our quorum is a little down. I think we have two vacancies or just one? Just one now? So if you know anyone who would like to join this fine group, please have them talk to the mayor.
Is James okay? He's missed the last three meetings.
I can't say. I don't know. I haven't heard from him. Have you heard from him?
We can try reaching out again.
I think he is okay, but he's, I think his priorities may have changed.
He has a girlfriend.
Yeah. I wasn't saying that.
Yeah. Okay, no need to go into personal business here. Subcommittees, do you have any meetings planned that you'd like to call out?
Well, I don't even know which subcommittee we are, but Risa and myself met with Kathy, the one of the managers at Ashland Hardware, and we actually have a commitment from them for the... It's, I think, a Saturday. It might even be on Earth Day. Do you know, Stu, what day Earth Day festivities are?
I'd have to double check.
It's
earlier rather than later.
Yeah, it's earlier, so it'll be around the 18th. Yeah. Anyway, we met with her, and this is something that I guess needs some approval by the commission. We had the idea, well, Risa had the idea, and she kind of pulled me onto it, to do a kind of show and tell for the public on battery-operated lawn care equipment. And she wanted to talk, she wanted to partner with Ashland Hardware because they are a steel dealer and the ones who supply the equipment to the city of Ashland and I think the school district and probably the college as well. And they have other lines. They have a lower-end line, and that's the high-end line. And so we were talking to her about if there's a way that they would help us publicize an event. It would be like a four-hour. I saw her today. She said 10 to 2. And I think the date is the 18th. I thought I had it.
Of April?
April.
Yeah, that's the date of the Rogue Valley Earth Day.
Yeah, so I think it's probably the same day.
Okay.
So it would be a drop-in thing where there would be out on the lawn in front of the hardware store, there'd be demo equipment. And what we were committing to was, there are two things. Our commitment was to supply to commission members or otherwise volunteers to share information about City of Ashland conservation programs that are relevant to the gardening season, you know, like both water and things related to climate in terms of gentler, you know, lawn care and leaf blowers, whatever, but the battery stuff. And in return, Ashland Hardware said they would promote the event, you know, as an environmental conservation type of event, and that they would also offer for that week, I believe, and I'll firm it up and I can share it through the website, I'll send through Elizabeth exactly what the commitment is, but that people from the general public during that week would be, if they're, you know, Ashlanders, would be afforded the, there's a little bit of a discount that I guess city buyers get in college and the school district, and so they would extend that to retail regular folks, and maybe come up with some freebie, something that would be relevant that, you know, we said don't have it be some junky thing. Mm-hmm. We don't want to just give away stuff that people are going to throw away.
Sure.
So that's, so we planned on an event. We need buy-in from the commission. I'm sorry for the short notice. We've been trying to set this up for a while, and then we have a meeting about 10 days ago, and then Kathy didn't mm-hmm. respond till today.
So that's 4/18 would be the event. Yeah. So can we put that on the next meeting agenda to lock in?
Recruits? Yeah, to lock that in. What I also mm-hmm. wondered, what I was hoping for was if there was any way, maybe student, you have a resource, or we could use some of the space on our, has our April article been submitted yet for the
to April article, I don't, that hasn't been submitted yet till next month, right?
No, that's the,
because we're operating 2 months ahead.
So we're supposed to approve it tonight. Problem mm-hmm. is we don't have the one that was scheduled, but mm-hmm. in the same vein, there is like a natural yard care article from, I think, like 2016 mm-hmm. that maybe if you guys wanted to, if you were okay, if we were just updating some information that's old and putting that up there.
That would be great.
And then if...
If it's, is it about yard care that...
Yeah,
uses less gasoline.
Well, I guess not. It's on the website if you want to look up just the natural okay. yard care.
Okay. Well,
I don't want to maybe talk about that. Yeah, later.
Yeah, if we could, we would love it if somehow that we get a mention in there, mm-hmm. and then Ashland Hardware will be pushing out something. I'm not sure how they would do it.
Would you like to?
Resolution would be something, maybe I need some help here, but that the Conservation and Education Outreach Commission is co-sponsoring an event with Ashland Hardware on Earth Day to promote use of battery electric and other non-fossil fuel yard care equipment, and we intend to have a couple of our members on hand to share various city conservation opportunities that there are for people who would come to look at this stuff, something like that.
Could we phrase it as participating in their event?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think that would probably
yeah,
go better.
That's fine. So rather than we could say that we have been, the Ashland Conservation Commission has been invited to participate in an event around non-fossil fuel lawn care or yard care equipment, April 18th at Ashland Hardware on their lawn, and our commitment is to supply a couple of commission members to you know, share with the community on information on that's relevant to lower carbon footprint yard care, and also there will be the opportunity for, you know, they're offering an opportunity for people to get a little bit of a break on things that week on those particular items. And what's good about it is they do an event. I think the reason Risa wanted this, and I'm just sort of I'm mostly the messenger, is because Ashland Hardware does an annual event. I think it's in the fall, promoting their gas operated mm-hmm.
yeah.
stuff, and we thought, well, let's at least try to get something going.
Yeah, and they had a little bit of work with us to do electrics in that event last year, as I recall.
Okay.
So do you have a motion you can work with there, Elizabeth, for, or do we need a motion for that? I think probably.
Well,
I
would.
I'm
requesting that it be just approved as something to do. We don't have to actually do anything, you know, Risa and I will make sure that either the two of us or one of us and another person from the commission are there.
Sure.
There's nothing to be done.
That's it. Let's just put it on the agenda for next time to lock that in, and
okay.
I think...
And but we would need approval if we're going to substitute that article and edit it.
Yeah.
Which we can talk about.
Okay.
We could also use that older article and just insert a little blurb.
Yeah,
where
yeah.
the thing
yeah,
is coming
I'm
up. If you have a blurb to supply.
Yes, I need to nail down the time. Okay, it'll be a 4-hour.
Okay.
Kind of fun.
Great. Other subcommittees, scheduled events?
The Waste Prevention Subcommittee, we have a meeting scheduled for the 5th of March. And also, we had one, and there's a write-up on the website about what we discussed. It was all part of the package around single use and tackling single use.
Okay. Where's that meeting?
At my office.
If you know. Okay.
On facilities management and planning at SAE.
Okay.
Do you know what time? Be in your email.
Okay.
I think I'll confirm the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you guys looped in with noticing and all
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's already noticed.
Yep. I think it's been noticed.
Okay. I think that's it, unless there's other subcommittees present tonight. Okay. Any other announcements from commissioners?
I have one other one. I met, and it may have already been reported, the last meeting I was absent. I had had a surgery. And I met with Jim to discuss leaf blowers. And I have heard since that it's been not from us, but from other climate commission member or something. There was some blow up at a work session. I don't know if you were there.
It'll probably be coming up to the council.
Right. Okay. So we were, our meeting was about doing some research on other communities and how they've dealt with the leaf blower situation. And I'll share this much. What we found in general, most of the communities that had ordinances around leaf blowers were in California. And they were interesting. They weren't, for the most part, I think there was only one place we found that had an actual B-word ban.
Mm-hmm.
But I think primarily what the ordinances were was to limit the dates in the year and the time of day
mm-hmm.
of operation of the equipment. And that was interesting to see. It was very limited. I mean, a lot of them, they had like 2 weeks in the spring and 2 weeks in mm-hmm. late fall or something. But, you know, we'll share
okay.
more of that.
Yeah, you might like to share that with the Adult Environment Subcommittee from the policy uh-huh. group. They're going to be doing some stakeholder outreach pretty soon on that topic,
okay. Oh, okay.
I believe.
Good to know.
So, okay, great. Public forum. Thanks, everybody, for being patient. We're a few minutes behind. How many people would like to speak? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Is that it? 5? Can we do 3 minutes? Does that sound okay to everyone?
Sure.
Okay. I'm going to do my timer since we have 5 of us. Let's just go around the room this direction.
Fuels. Governor Kate Brown, she wants a solar-ready, Stuart knows all about this, by this year. The wording is kind of vague. What is solar ready? How much roof? It doesn't say. Methane leaks turn out, the new report, 10 times more than we ever thought before. And there are 30 sometimes more global warming causing, and the fracking which causes all that is for our cars. That's what's causing the, so that's why we have to hurry, because we can catch that. It only stays up there not as long. The Union of Concerned Scientists come out with a new report that says EVs are really clean. Don't even talk about it. Cradle to grave. And they say we got to really get going. The International Construction Code, the International Code Council, now come out with we can have all the chargers we want. EV-ready wiring. But they're a little bit vague, and they're more than I would do. So we can write our own, the state says we can write our own right away and pass it.
Kate Brown says, you'd be ready wiring by 22. So the town council eclipsed our governor. So it's like a what to fit to it, I don't know. And so that might get accepted. But the International Construction Code, which is written by the International Code Council, is usually has been accepted and adopted by the state as a law, but that doesn't have to be that way, and they're going to vote on that in October. So all kinds of things are happening really fast. Yeah, that's good. Thanks.
Okay. Good evening, High Commissioners. Jeff Sharp, 557 Fordyce. I'm here tonight to encourage you under your powers and duties to make recommendations on strategies, actions, and programs for promotion of community, residential, and commercial renewable resources, specifically to send a swift recommendation to City Council to join Ashland Community Solar, ACS, in our efforts to build energy security and a cleaner future for the city. ACS is a group of dedicated citizens working to develop and build significant community solar in Ashland. These projects are private-public partnerships using local tax equity investors, federal and state grants, and the city's progressive virtual net metering ordinance, thanks to lower cost and speed development. Clean local solar power strengthens our city's distribution grid, adds energy security and resilience, provides healthy economic development, and moves us towards real regional greenhouse gas reductions. And the city's in a powerful position to help with this one. There's an April 1st deadline for USDA grants that we're confident we can get if the city will help by offering building roofs, parking lots, and open spaces for community solar. These projects can be structured to provide power for our city emergency operations centers. Local investors take care of 100% of project costs, so no city monies will be involved. By offering sites, the city will help stimulate exponential growth of locally developed, installed, and maintained community solar here at home. Thanks.
Do we have questions? Is there time?
Yeah.
I have a question. Do you have any specific city-owned sites in mind that would be appropriate for that?
Yeah, the ones at the Grove, if we can tie those in with the proposed emergency operations centers.
Mm-hmm.
The roof at Briscoe's being redone. That's another great place. The airport has airport hangar roofs that are, we can do hundreds of kilowatts on, at least a couple, 200s. And the 1 megawatt SNEAR extension that the city gets would also qualify for 25% USDA grant up to $250,000. I don't think that one's going to happen quick, but just offering sites and planning how we might be able to put storage on these and integrate them into the cities. Emergency operations, the time is now. I mean, we got the best tax credits and as well as these grants, so that's my suggestion.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, who's next? Ken?
Ken Davidine, 206 Terrace Street. Going through some of my stuff, I came across this booklet called Earth Smart Money Wise Guide. That familiar to anybody here? It was put out in 2000 by the city and published by Chamber of Commerce using materials, a lot of material from the Rocky Mountain Institute. It's very good. It's detailed. It covers heating, cooling, appliances, water saving, and so on, things you can do, places you can contact for help. It's 20 years out of date, and I'm wondering if it would be useful for our objectives to update. And I'm basically asking if anyone would like to work on that. I can't take it on by myself, but I'd be glad to help out. I went to the Chamber of Commerce, I asked them if they had updated it, and they said, no, look at our most recent tourist booklet, And it's got two pages, and, you know, doesn't come anywhere near what this had. So, please get in touch with me if you think this will be useful for the city's objective on energy and water savings.
I'm Haley McKay. I live in the east side of West Nevada. I'm with a company called WeThink. We've been distributing natural products nationwide for 12 years, and our focus has really been on...
can you speak louder?
Sure.
Yeah, come over here.
Come over here? So we distribute natural products. Our focus lately has been on zero waste, plastic-free products, everything from bringing your own straw to reusable napkins, by a talent company, and reusable containers, water bottles. We distribute to stores nationwide, but in hearing recently about the Road to Go program, we felt really excited to hear that our community is doing something that's encouraging people to use reusable containers rather than single use. Just wanted to come and introduce ourselves, kind of get more connected with our local community and what's happening. A lot of people don't even know that we're tucked away here in Ashland, and we work on a national basis. So I got a couple of our flyers. I would love to connect with somebody if there's opportunity.
Yes, this fits perfectly in with some of the discussions. Sorry, can I?
Yes, yeah,
with some of the discussions we've been having at the Waste Prevention Subcommittee, because we met with Talent and Emily and Talent on the whole bring your own concept and things like that. So I would love to meet
you. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
I'll just say quickly, Haley and I had talked about the Road to Go program, and I invited her to come and just say hi to everybody here, because I think it's a great resource, and even though I think I know the landscape here pretty well, I didn't know that their company was here. And I thought, well, this is a missed opportunity. So check out their website and, you know, see. They may have an interest, or they may have the next Rope to Go container. Who knows? Because we were looking for some of the cool products that we have available now. So anyhow, thanks, Avery.
Yeah, thank you.
Was there anybody else over on that side, or is that, I think, everybody good? Okay.
I am Flavia Franco, and I live on Hillview, and I am a member of Southern Oregon Food Solutions, and we're working with Emerging Futures as well. This is a program that the City of Ashland is sponsoring this year, and we're trying to reduce food waste, so your products are very interesting to us. So last month I let everybody know here that we are doing a workshop for food professionals on March 24th. This is going to be at the Grange, and we're just going to be working with a person, Paul Sheldon, who is he has an affiliation with the Rocky Mountain Institute, and he is an efficiency expert with a focus on sustainability and reducing waste, and he's worked in correctional, you know, helped correctional institutions reduce their carbon footprint. And so he's going to be the featured speaker, so it's going to be a great program. We're taking a look at the agenda. And also, I just wanted to make people aware that there's a, the subject of reducing food waste is growing very rapidly, as you could tell from all these programs, and Lane County was just in the news last week, and I hope soon that Ashland will be in the news with a similar, you know, kind of large, prominent campaign, but Lane County is putting on a food audit challenge to their citizens where they can go and log in and sign up and get help with tips to reduce their food waste and diverting all of that methane-creating material from landfills. So it's it's very exciting what Southern American Food Solutions is doing, and hopefully you'll be hearing more about it soon.
Thank you.
I just had a quick question for you, whether there's any kind of initiative that would bring commercial composting of food waste to the Rogue Valley. Is there anything out there?
Yes, we are going to be trying to work all parts of the cycle, which is, you know, getting surplus food to the people that need food, and also, you know, putting more of the food waste into composting so that it doesn't go to the landfill. So we are going to be bringing those types of services into our activities as well. So this is like one piece of it, working with retail establishments to try and help them be more efficient in their use of food.
Thanks. Okay. Steve, you're up. So next we'll have the Ashland School District's bond report.
Those of you that were not at the last meeting, I'm Steve Metzel with the Ashland Public Schools, and I believe I'm one of the newer members of the commission. I will be attending for the foreseeable future, representing the school district, and also as a citizen of the city of Ashland, of course. But my primary role here is as representative of the school district. And I did a short presentation with our program management firm, HMK, at the last City Council study session, and I'm going to share that that same presentation here tonight, and then I will even share a little bit more detail, maybe wade into the weeds a little bit about what we're doing on kind of behind the scenes that we didn't get into that night. We didn't have time, but essentially what we've done is, if you're not aware, we passed a bond in November 2018, and so we're renovating four major projects or major schools in the school district. We're going to be renovating the middle school campus with the John Muir Outdoor School, Hellman Elementary, Walker Elementary, and then two buildings at the high school. So those are what we're considered our major projects. We also have a commitment to upgrade our heating and cooling and air conditioning district-wide. We're also doing some safety and security updates with the bond in terms of just physical access to our campuses and student safety. We're also going to be renovating restrooms district-wide. Some of our restrooms have not been touched in over 30 or 40 years, so we're going to bring those all up to date. And then we have a small budget for our tech infrastructure, which is kind of behind the scenes and in the closets. You don't see a lot of that, but we haven't touched a lot of that since 97, so we're going to upgrade our tech infrastructure as well. But what we're going to talk about tonight is what we consider our sustainability standards. And just to give you an idea of how we function within our bond, we have what we call program guardrails. And we have our building standards, our educational standards, and then we have our sustainability standards. So our construction, our building standards are really the construction part of our standards. It's the doors, door types that we're using, the door hinges that we're using, the types of windows that we're using, the paints that we're using. All the materials for all of the different components of a construction project are wrapped into that building standards. It's a multi-page document. We probably don't need to get into that tonight, but I'm happy to share that with anyone offline. We have our educational program, which is what they actually do at that school. So obviously the high school is different from the middle school, which would be different from a K-5 program, which would be different from John Muir Outdoor School. So each one of our campuses has what we call a program. What is it that you teach? How do you teach? How many classrooms do you need? How much space do you need? That's all wrapped into that educational program. And then the one that we're going to talk about tonight is the sustainability standards. And early on in the project, when we started working on our sustainability standards, we established some priorities in those standards, but it was really obvious to us and to, let me back up a second. We actually brought a consultant on board at this time, and it was Brightworks Consultants out of Portland, and they're a sustainability firm, sustainability consultancy firm, and we brought them on board, and we started looking at best practices. They've worked with school districts up and down the I-5 corridor and all over Washington and Oregon. And when we sat down with them, we immediately went to the Climate Energy Action Plan because we felt like there's already a great template right there for us to use that would line out some standards for us. So we started going through the sustainability, the Climate Energy Action Plan, and trying to match it and mirror it to things that we know we can do within a school district and align with that Climate Energy Action Plan. And of, I think you have about 60 goals listed there, we were able to identify about 30 of them that were relevant to our projects, and about 15 that we consider absolutes, that we are going to require all of our design firms, all our construction firms to follow. The other 15 are really situational based on the project. So we took that work and started actually identifying what our priorities were. So if you look through our priorities here, we have transparency and commitments. So our school project process is all going to be listed in C metrics. So I'll show you a sample here in a minute. We're going to speak the language universally across all our projects that mirrors the language that we've learned from the SEEP. And I'll share with you the metrics here shortly. Recognition for success, tell the sustainability story with the city SEEP. I had a meeting with Stu early on, and we've talked to other city council members through the months, and we've offered to use what we're doing as a story for the city of Ashland. Market this, put it on, you know, the front page of the paper, however you want to use it. This is, in my opinion, a large organization that's been gifted a large amount of money that's now using the Climate Energy Action Plan to establish our standards throughout the entire project. Framework for continuous improvement. ASB standards and design to constructions for both operations and maintenance. We've now established these standards, so we're going to keep these standards across everything we do moving forward. So we feel like we've built this framework. We have a foundation now that every project, every construction project, renovation project, anything we do is going to follow these standards, and we'll update these, and this will be a living document for us. Leverage projects to change. We're now aligning all of our project goals with the community's goals. We feel like that's just a natural partnership. And again, we've engaged with the city early on, and it's been amazing to see how well the Climate Energy Action Plan actually fits. And how well it actually works. And I mentioned this at the actual City Council study session, that this is an opportunity to actually see the action plan in action. And that's really what we're trying to promote here. Student experience, sustainable systems. So we're actually going to try to incorporate all of these standards into our curriculum. We have teachers at the high school and the middle school that are aware of what we're doing. They're on our committees, they're on our subcommittees, and we're asking them to look for any way to engage the students in all of these sustainability standards and the approach that we're taking here. And that can be as simple as a recycling center at an elementary school, to solar panels at the high school, the students are actually managing, monitoring, and actually have some sense of ownership over. We're constantly looking for that experience for a student. And we're finding that they're actually a lot further down the path than we are in terms of sustainability and climate awareness. Let's get the schedule and the budget. I mean, that's an obvious. I mean, we have bond goals and we have a budget. It sounds like a lot of money when you see it in one big lump sum, but when you start breaking it up to all the various projects, it's not much per project. So we're really trying to keep that that real perspective on things, knowing that we don't have an unlimited pot of money to do things with. So there are some time that we're going to run into where we're going to be challenged to meet all of those goals 100%, and we know that. Every dollar contributes to student academic success, health, environment, resilience, and collaboration, and really that's kind of the tenets of what we're trying to achieve here with our school district bond. So this is an example of what we've done. We have about 30 of these. This is what one of those standards looks like for us. So this is the Ashland Climate Energy Action applied to Ashland School District. So we have CM5-1, consumption plus materials management, improve the sustainability of city operations and purchases. Introduce environmentally preferably purchasing EPP guidelines for city procurement. So there's your strategies. Use of low emitting materials, paint, coatings, floorings, etc. Preference for strategic use of low embodied carbon materials, preference for post-recycled content, FSC certified wood, etc. And then we have our metrics. And you can see our metrics are listed there. 100% of on-site wet applied products meet VOC limits. 80% by square footage of products meet emissions testing standards. So we actually will follow those metrics throughout the entire project. This firm, Brightworks, will be with us throughout not only the design phase, but all the way through the construction phase. And then at the end, when we're done, they're going to come back and audit us after the fact, and they're going to be able to tell us how well we did in meeting all of our marks. So there's one for the consumption of materials management. We have another one here for natural systems, just to give you a different perspective on what they look like. Manage and conserve community water resources. There's our strategies and our metrics. Here's Wemper Natural Systems. And again, these standards are put before every design firm, every construction company that we work with, every program management firm that we work with. They're required to follow these standards to the best of their ability.
Can I just ask a question? Are they LEED within brackets in a couple of places there in terms of the U.S. Green Building Council? So
right.
Are they LEED standards or are these standards that have come up in terms of Ashland Climate Energy Action?
What they've done is they've identified standards that actually are also LEED standards.
Would you be going for LEED
certification? We're not at this time. We're not looking for that certification.
Okay.
So that being the case, well, even if you were going for LEED, it was a previous slide where you talked about embodied carbon materials, and it said to be defined.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make a comment.
Sure.
This is a really, really critical area when you're doing new construction or remodeling. You're pouring a lot of concrete.
Sure.
Concrete has one of the highest embodied carbon content.
Right.
And there are a lot of alternatives out there, but you really have to dig and you really have to work with your contractors and designers
right.
to use them. But there's the opportunity to reduce
sure.
embodied carbon 35% in all of the concrete, most likely similar to projects that are ongoing in the city of Ashland. That would be ignored
sure.
because it's hard to figure it out. But I would just say this is a great opportunity where you're using the seat and you're doing a building project and you're being made aware of this right now
right.
that you could actually, there in the Pacific Northwest there are lower carbon, embodied carbon aggregates available. I have no idea how you get your hands on them. I'm personally going to be doing a building project and trying to find an aggregate company that can supply such things, but I think it's worth putting, you're concerned about budget. These aren't things that cost more.
Sure.
They just cost more to discover because they're not used much in this region.
Well, so I'll mention that we have our first major milestone with Brightworks coming up next Tuesday.
So,
and we're going
to
sit.
So the other way to attack this embodied carbon issue in the actual building process is to look at opportunities for using wood as a structural, if there's a choice between concrete and wood in a situation and you can use a sustainably produced wood, there you have, some carbon that will be there for the life of the building.
Sure.
And hopefully, just a few suggestions. Thanks.
Yep, so any questions about how we've incorporated the SEEP into our standards? I'm going to show you, it's going to be hard to read because I'm going to give you the snapshot of the whole document here in a second. But I want to share with you our process. And this is, again, you'll see Brightworks Sustainability down there because that's our consultant firm, and we've hired them to really be our accountability partner. They're going to come along with us all the way through this process. They're part of the design process. These are all points in the process that they've actually sat down with us, gone through the documents, had checkpoints through the sustainability kickoff that we had through schematic design, that's what SD means, design development, which is what DD means, and we are right in that phase right now. And so we're going to have a checkpoint here for that DD set review coming up next week, and then we'll go through, including quarterly progress updates, and then they will stay with us through the construction project. We currently are using what's called a CMGC process for construction here, which means we have the contractor involved from the design process all the way through versus waiting until we design the building and then go out and find a contractor. So they're going to be coming along with us, and they've been in those contractors, which in this case with Hellman and the middle school is a joint, so it's a local contractor. They've been in these same sustainability meetings with us all the way through. But Brightworks will be involved all the way through the construction process, and they will also be through the operations and on beyond these projects. They'll stay with us and then come back to us after the fact and let us know kind of a report of how we've done in meeting all of our standards. So this is I kind of explained all the sustainability design features that we are, the concepts that we have. So this is really what it looks like. I can drill down to the details, but that first column is the actual SEEP strategy. The second column there is your bond scope approach, which is our personal strategy around the SEEP strategy. the project metrics, and then you have your status of strategy and associated documentation. And you can see this is starting to get filled out for one of our sites here, and this will get filled out all the way through the process, and we'll be able to report back to our constituents after we're done with all this information in one document, and we'll be able to go through all those standards one by one and have all of the success criteria, the metrics that we're being measured by, and then any notes that we have along the way. So this goes down into some of the other ones. So there's the 1 through 15, I think, were required, and then 15 through 30 were ones that really were dependent on the actual project. There were several that were very specific to municipalities that really didn't apply to us, so we didn't pull into our standards. And then some of these are to be determined because we haven't found a project where they fit yet. This is a thing that we've been sharing with everybody. We actually sat down with our sustainability team and our interior design team, and we came up with some standards. We look at things like this piece of carpet here and these carpet samples there. This is a carpet that we did some research. We did spend some time and went out and looked. What we were looking for with a lot of our interior design standards was what we call a cradle to cradle. That instead of a cradle to grave solution, we want a carpet that actually is a recycled carpet that when we're done, it's going to get recycled back into the carpet that we're going to put back into our buildings. What we actually found out with this particular carpet that is actually one of the most resilient carpets out there. The only thing they've not been able to get out of this carpet is yellow mustard. French's yellow mustard, no less. They've been able to get paint, blood, different liquids and fluids out of this without any staining, and it's 100% recyclable. It's made out of recycled material. It's made out of recycled carpet, and then it gets recycled back into another roll of carpet that gets deployed. So we're looking for those types of strategies anytime we can with all of our interior design standards as well.
Is that a business model? Does the same company take the carpet back to recycle it?
I'd have to find out. I'm not exactly sure.
Okay.
And it would be great, too, to find out, what the embodied carbon is in
sure.
terms of the manufacturing process, because it obviously is going to use energy in some form of that. That's a really good thing to report. With a lot of these things, there is materials that are 100% recyclable, but they require a huge amount of carbon emissions.
Right.
Recycle.
Which yeah. doesn't quite make that much sense.
And a process and a infrastructure where the process that they can go to, because we've been looking at the same mm-hmm. thing at SOU in terms of
I'm pretty sure they do, because I know the program management that we're working with has used this company before and has had a lot of experience with this company, and I'm almost positive he mentioned that the company does coordinate that piece of taking the carbon
okay.
to the recycling side of it and then bringing the new carpet in.
Okay.
But I can find out for sure.
Yeah, that'd be really
so that's so those are some those are just some applicable ways in which our standards have kind of hit the ground, so to speak, where we've actually used them in action. And we have this board that we kind of we carry around to the different sites, because we've established some of these standards for the entire district, trying to get to a place where we can maybe minimize the number of things we have to hold in our warehouse to just maintain our facilities. Right now, it feels like we've had separate kingdoms, and each kingdom's been able to determine what they want, and then our maintenance department's required to kind of take care of all that stuff. And so what we're trying to do is just find some standards, give them some options within the standards, but find some standards, and some of those, like the carpets, we're being pretty absolute about. We're just stating that's the carpet. You can pick one of those colors if you want, but that's the carpet that we're going to use. And we've established that those are the four colors, essentially the gray, blue, green, and red that you can use. And it's been pretty well received. I mean, we were challenged by a lot of these teachers to think, about conservation and our footprint, so to speak. But when you go back to them and tell them what that actually means in application in their classroom, sometimes they're like, well, I didn't mean here, everywhere else. And so that's the end of that presentation. I have a couple more documents I could share, but they really, like I said, wade into the weeds, and it really expands on that that spreadsheet that we have a little bit deeper. But given that, do you have any questions about where we're at and what we're doing? And again, I encourage this committee and the city in general to exploit what we're doing if you feel it's positive and it's the right thing. We feel like it's an amazing opportunity, showing the alignment that we have with this Climate Energy Action Plan. I'm only about 6 months into it, so I'm still getting my head wrapped around all of it and what it means, and my world has really been altered lately in terms of responsibility. So a lot of this is new to me, but we're learning quick. So.
Will you have a way in terms of promoting what you're doing and associating it with the seed?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a way to point people to a URL that...
We sure do. We actually have a bond website, and if you have some place you would like them to land, just let me know, and I could probably work with Stu to figure that out. And make it
I think that would be really helpful. I think just people via social media, there'd be interested people. I'm working with a builder right now.
Sure.
I'm sure he'd be really interested to know about, I doubt if he knows.
Yeah, something that might come out of our meeting with Brightworks next week is maybe I'll have we have a communications specialist working as a part of our program management. And we'll see if she can maybe put something together and maybe even do a news release that would hit all the social media, hit the website, hit our news feed, and then drop a link directly to the city of Ashland.
What you're doing.
Yeah.
And as it develops, because it seems like you're a bit early in the process.
Yeah. One more thing I wanted to share before I forget is that we're also engaging with students. We have identified a couple of high school students in particular that we're going to bring them in for the first time next week to meet with Brightworks consultant. They are speaking on behalf of a committee, a club that's at the high school, and we really want their voice at the table. And I think that some folks are going to be surprised at how progressive they are in their thoughts on this, and I can't wait for that to happen. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to have that student voice engaged too. One is a recent former graduate of a recent graduate of Ashland High School. One's a current high school student. And so we'll see what they bring to the table as well in terms of that student voice.
Watch out.
Yeah.
I think we do that. It's a unit. It's so valuable. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Having more perspectives and views and diversity in the room gets much better outcome.
Sure.
I was also thinking just some of what we've gone through, not necessarily with my committee member hat on, but with my SOU hat on. It would be really good meeting with the department I work in and maybe discussing some of this. I think we could learn a lot from the approach you've taken here, and
sure,
maybe we can share some of our challenges in renovation as well.
I am working with, and I can't remember his name, he's I think your current IT director.
Tom Besser.
Yeah. I'm on a coalition with him and Adam as well, so I've been spending a little more time over there.
Okay.
That's more about IT stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
But I'd love to come over.
Yeah, that would be great.
Is there a part of the plan that deals with the products of demolition?
There is, yeah. Like I said, I'm happy to meet offline and go through the plan in more detail because it's pretty comprehensive, in my opinion anyway, but it does have...
What's your email address?
steve.m@ashland, and it's .k12.or.us. So it's just like city independent.
Let's leave it there, and this is real quick.
Yeah, it may not be. Okay. I'll stay through the whole meeting, so I'm happy to...
And then the youth leave at 7:30, right? So that'll be our quorum at 7, so we have a little less time than we would otherwise.
And I'm available, I shouldn't say I'm available anytime, Jeff knows that I'm not available anytime. But I, get an email exchange going, or if you want to, I'm happy to bring you to one of our meetings if you'd like to sit in and listen to how that those transactions happen.
Well, thank you for
thank you.
School District for picking up that mantle.
Sure.
I think that's really a big step.
Good timing.
Okay, so update council, Beth.
Well, this isn't exactly a council update, but I was able to go to Arcata to see the recycle plant there, which was an interesting experience. So I brought back some stuff for you guys. And one of the things that I found interesting there, they did do a lot of demonstrations with products. And I don't know if we have a bag that if we do a demonstration, we have things to show people.
Okay.
I think Recology has some swag.
Uh-huh. Well, this is Recology swag.
There's not a lot of City of Ashland swag, but Julie Smitherman has a lot of water conservation.
Yeah.
Well, they
actually
had the idea of bags for vegetables rather than using plastic, and they had the idea of having your own. So if we're collecting this is just for anyone that wants to use it in a demonstration for the community. And in terms of the council, things that are on the agenda, there is going to be a discussion of the Climate Energy Action Plan in terms of an update, and also suggestions from the commission on, as you mentioned before, the emergency declaration of that, how that would be, as well as I think that there's also going to be a discussion about blowers and using electricity versus gas. So those are things that are coming up on the agenda in the next several months.
Yeah. Great.
And, yeah.
Steph, can I ask, can you maybe briefly talk about at the last meeting regarding the bond issue and the solar panel specifically part of it?
Mm-hmm.
And kind of what formed, probably how the vote went, and how council kind of looks at that vote, and in terms of 20 by 20 and getting our goals of the SEEP done.
Mm-hmm. I think that there's little likelihood that the bond will remain in its current form in terms of looking at City Hall, and we're meeting with the Historic Commission now and looking at what will be happening with that. I felt really torn about how to vote with that in terms of the $2 million price tag and the fact that I think that the likelihood of it passing is probably not that great. So I don't know that I thought that tying things to that was a very helpful way of looking at things. That's my perspective. I don't know what other people's perspective is. I know it was disappointing to some people not to have that added on, but I don't think that it's going to... I haven't heard anything to indicate that it's, unless it's changed a lot, the ask, that it's even going to be approved in terms of the demo. I don't think demolition would be approved. I think we're looking at probably scaling down that project.
I'm wondering about, you know, we some 3-4 months ago sent a letter to the council that I think got missed by all but maybe one councilor about water treatment plants. And then as things have developed, I've been really pleased to see that the awareness about some of the possible issues and how they relate to climate with that large project, that some of the council has kind of gotten.
We're looking at making it a platinum level, what that would be.
Well, I would just like to throw in, I'm talking about size, scale.
Yeah.
And what I'm really talking about is, you know, I know the last I heard was that it was suggested that there be an open house. Give people an opportunity to share with people, you know, ideas. I would beg the council to find a way to have a community discussion, a two-way street. The open houses don't really open up the process at all.
Mm-hmm.
They're just a dog and pony show. I hate to be trite about it, but that's what they are. And I've gone to lots of them, and I participate, but realize, wait a minute, this is a done deal already. And the water treatment plant, it kind of was presented that way. I just, thank you for sharing the idea. I will write to council and the mayor. requesting that we actually have a two-way discussion in the community about the huge project and has big consequences for climate. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. The other thing that they talked about at the ecology plant that I thought was interesting is that one of the things that people could do is try to work with manufacturers to have a standardized type of plastic that they use so that it can be recycled more easily than it is now. And they also indicated that Ashland was one of the only places that they're taking paper products from China.
Yeah.
And they're still trying to get people to try to talk to their congressmen and manufacturers about trying to have more recycling plants in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. Okay, admin update. I'll keep it pretty short, although there's always a lot of different things going on. Rogue to Go program is in full swing now. We have all five participants out the door and operating. It's a big feat to get the co-op through the legal process, but they put in a lot of extra effort. They are really working hard to make it go right. So that's going pretty well. I think we have a couple of months in front of us. One way that that program is going to relate to this commission is that in April, I'm going to try to do some customer experience surveys, and I would invite anybody who's interested in helping me get that done to help me get that done. So that'll be pretty simple, but I'll bring that up at a future meeting. Just a couple items of note, since this is the outreach group, I like to let you know what we have to offer so that you can relay that. I'm trying to ramp up some promotion on the commercial charging incentive. We changed the terms towards the beginning of the year, so now if you have a commercial electric account, you can get $1,000 to put in an EV charger. If you do two, you get an extra $500, $500 for each extra one, up to a point. So you can send people to myself or to the webpage, city website/workplace charging. So I'm looking to do some promotion on that. Actually, I have a volunteer who's about to go do some door knocking for me, which will be great. We also have the online energy audit tool, which is also on the slash conservation webpage. You can also Google Ashland EE audit, and that should pop up. It's not a perfect tool, but it's something we have that helps connect people with incentives, and it does a little bit to build our local building inventory database, so we know more about what kind of fuel different homes are using in aggregate. Public charging is about to get an upgrade. I wish I had a date exactly when, but we're about halfway into the process. We're going to go from 4 plugs up to 10. It will remain free to use. That whole little pod of parking will become electric vehicle only parking. So that'll be cool.
Fast charge?
No. So fast charge is only for road trips or for forgetful people.
Okay. I am one of those forgetful people.
What's that?
Any additional sites?
No new sites at this time. That would be nice to do, but I have limited ability to get this one done, so we'll be doing them one at a time. As soon as we get the public charging squared away, need to take some plugs and put them in at our fleet, because we now have a whole bunch of EVs and we don't have enough chargers over there. I mean, everybody's still charging up. It's not that a problem. It's just not as organized as it could be.
There's still level 2 chargers, though.
Not in all cases, but you know, for overnight parking, level 1 is adequate, mostly. You know, our city vehicles don't drive that far in a day, so it's pretty easy. Some things on the horizon, which I don't have a lot to report at this point, but I'm hoping to see some action on this year, is expanding our bike share. I think our contract with Zagster is almost up. I have to double check on when that happens, but I would like to amplify and electrify the bike share if possible. So that's something I hopefully will be working on later. Also, we are trying to cook up some on the policy side of things, but I'm hoping to put together some sort of attractive financial offering for residents so they can do integrated whole home energy makeovers on reasonable terms. That's a little bit of a new thing for the city to be like going down that path, but if we can do it, it should enable a lot of people who want to do change to make change. Any questions about specific stuff that I didn't mention? And there's a bunch of other junk I could keep rambling on about. But,
could you put in a bank of bike chargers in that same complex where all the new car chargers are going to be?
I doubt it, because if we put in 110 charging, people will use it for everything. The co-op has some outlets that are designated for that. Bicycle charging is probably going to be tough to service in the short term. Unless it's a docked bike share type situation, that would be easy. Okay, that's all from admin, unless there's questions about stuff. Oh, I guess the only other thing I'd say, sometime in the next couple months, I don't know when, I'll be doing my annual progress report to council. And I'll also bring that show here into the policy group. I was hoping to have it done early and give you all a preview, but it seems like we might end up having to do it sooner than we thought, and I'm just not sure. So I will bring it when I can. And in the meantime, if anyone has questions or is wondering what's going on with X thing, just give me a call. Okay. Let's see. Reports from other commissions. Anybody here from another commission who would like to speak? Are you on another commission?
Well, I attended the other commission meeting.
Ah.
And unfortunately, because I was absent at our previous meeting, I was hoping there would be somebody who was designated to attend.
Mm-hmm.
And the Climate Policy Commission seemed open and expectant of having somebody, but there wasn't anybody except I was there, but I wasn't designated as an official ambassador from this commission, so it was a little awkward because there were some things that we should be sharing.
So I think that was the first time that was on the agenda for that group, and I believe the intention was to make it that any appointed commissioner could have a second to say what they want on behalf of the commission, that it wouldn't require a designated representative, because if we designated Marnie, say, to go to that group, and there's a day she couldn't go, then no one else could.
Well, I think what I was asking was, you know, what's your rule? Like, are you expecting somebody who has been officially asked to go? And it could be, there could be three people who are empowered to do it, and just one would go. But what ended up happening was I spoke, you know, there were like five speakers, so I got my 40 seconds or 1 or 2 minutes, whatever it was very short. But I did sort of, you know, pull up an extension on a little bit just to bring this up. So I think that I got the impression from Tanya that they would like someone to come who's sent from here. It doesn't have to be one thing, that they don't care whether it's one person or just empowering whoever can make it. But it seems like this commission should, you know, have a vote saying we, our intention is to have a representative.
Did you have your
Didn't
joint
we do
meetings
that already?
No.
Leaders with you and James. And
oh
Brian?
Yes, we had the leadership meeting.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think I don't know about the rules, because this is a new thing we've put on. It hasn't really been road tested, but the intent was to facilitate this commission or any other to relay messages to the policy group that they thought were important.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't really available. It was odd. It was awkward.
Well, I think that's the intent. So does that seem accurate to you, Elizabeth? You've been part of that conversation.
At the last meeting here, it hadn't been bottomed out, because I was hoping to go. Unfortunately, at the last minute, I couldn't go to that. But even though we were going, it was not to be at the commission. It was just to observe.
Right.
It wasn't that intense.
Well, could we
there,
what about having, you know, know, a resolution or something, just to say that anyone who is a duly a member of this commission can attend the other one and report on what our current stuff is.
I'm not sure I'm the one to make that call.
Well, we're sitting here. We should be able to.
Well, this would be to put an agenda item on the other commission's agenda, right? Because
they had it. They had it.
They did. Right.
Yes.
But
I think that's exactly what was implied. But I think, what would happen if you missed it this time and then you didn't realize that you could also update what conservation was doing, but mainly that spot is just updates for on the commission work. You know, you can't put your personal.
That's what Tonga
was trying to say, and that might have been where the confusion was. She didn't necessarily mean like you need to have it a formal, official. You know, you have to have a motion here, and you're going to go there. It's just we want that section and the section on ours is if other commissions, you know, want to bring things up, they can in that part and not take up public forum. But it has to be what that commission talks about and doing. So if next time you want to go...
about my personal self.
So if you want to go next time and give them updates on what we talked about
tonight. Yeah, I don't even know if I'll be in town.
That's fine.
But so that we all know that if someone can make it to that meeting, it would be really great. They would be happy for one of us to be there and share what we're doing.
I think just it would be nice to be someone to be invited with the date, because otherwise we're just relying on someone else being available and going. But if it's useful for someone to be on that agenda giving an update, then should that come, who's attending, when it is, what time it is, because we've all got calendars, and that isn't coming through in terms of the intent of what the relationship is or how we work with them.
Sure. Did you have something
like that? Oh, it just sounds like we need to kind of formalize it a little bit.
Well, I have a suggestion. What about just an email going out to the commission a week before, like when the agenda goes out for the other commission?
You can subscribe on the website.
No, but can anyone attend from here? Like, specifically,
so we know who's going each time.
And then we could reply.
I guess,
I
would suggest...
I think that where you need to be careful with it is that the mayor basically appoints the commissions. And at this point, the commissions don't have the ability to have somebody from another commission come and talk, other than kind of at how you did. So I don't know if that clarification would need to be made for all commissions if you were going to change that.
So we invite people to come and update us on what's going on, I guess not specifically with other commissions, so that might be different. But
well,
wouldn't it be the same as them inviting us to please come and update us on?
I think that you could ask for that.
Okay.
But having somebody show up at a meeting without feeling like that person was representing what that commission had agreed that they should share, that's the problem. Because sometimes people have done that.
Okay.
They've gone to a commission as a representative of a commission, except they've given information that's their personal opinion, not what necessarily the commission.
So, this is just an open invite from the policy group for other appointed commissioners to come relay what's happening, I think. If it's important to this group that there be someone there every time, you should probably appoint somebody to just have that ball. That doesn't mean other people can't go. You know what I mean?
But at least
just,
one
just
person
so it clarifies
making sure someone's
that
going.
Marnie is responsible for attending those meetings. Because if we just leave it up to whoever goes,
decide on one person who could have the option, if they can't attend, to recruit another commission member to replace.
Yeah, and like I said, if it's important to this group that you be there to update on X topic, because they're not asking for you to be there every time. That's not the ask. But they want to leave it open for that.
Yeah, well, since they have an agenda item for it, and since it seems that communication is agonizingly slow, and disjointed, that it would be really nice to make an attempt.
Sure. And that's part of it, is to not have to slow it down. And we didn't, I think the idea of not nominating somebody formally was just to cut out extra process. Like, because it's one more thing to do. Right?
Do we want to put one person kind of in charge? Not that they have to be the ones, but at least they'll know who's going. And
that's a good idea.
When are the meetings?
Second Thursday.
At 4. 4 to 6, but usually in the beginning.
We could put it on the next agenda, too, if you want to.
Well,
when other people
I
are
mean,
here to
is
be
anybody else? It seems like at least a couple of us are interested.
Yes, it's a hard time for me.
Yeah, okay. No, I'm interested in us doing this because we don't have to decide who's going to go to a particular meeting. We just have to decide on somebody who would designate somebody for that meeting, and they would have hopefully some, you know, some bullet points or notes from Elizabeth that they could use to make their report.
Yeah, definitely interested in this being resolved because we do seem to talk about it at every commission meeting, and I do think it needs to be resolved. We've also talked about our relationship between the two commissions and how we should be working together effectively because we're both in a very similar space. I know there's policy and then there's outreach, but we should be complementing each other, supporting each other and working together, I feel. And yeah, that's not quite, so I know we can go along to theirs, but I do feel it's a two-way thing as well.
Any other?
I think it'd be nice if somebody could do it, one of us.
Are you volunteering?
When I'm in town, but I just looked at the schedule and I'm not available on this.
Okay.
The second Thursday.
I'm
not available on this through June.
I would say, why don't we put this on the agenda for next time to revisit? And anybody who wants to come to the next meeting is certainly welcome. I think, you know, unless you all want to write up a summary and approve it as an official deliverance to the other commission, I think the appropriate thing would be whoever comes to the meeting just has the last minutes and can highlight whatever happened that's of relevance. That would just be my suggestion.
Good.
And yeah, you don't have to make a motion on it right now unless you want to. Okay. Old business. Should we add that to the next agenda list? Is that okay with everyone? So sneak preview article. Can you give us an update, Elizabeth, on what's happening?
So
kind of
like
that?
I said before, what we've done in the past when we don't have one to approve, we kind of recycle an old one. So with Larry's, you know, your topic about Ace Hardware, this will go out in April. So if we want to reuse the 2016 Natural Yard Care Made Easy, and staff can look through it and make sure there's not like old links or anything or weird
right,
dates.
Yeah.
And then if the commission wants to approve that and then add in something about that event, which we can get the for sure date and everything.
Well, I'm happy to help write a few sentences.
Yeah, just like a little paragraph at the end. We can also recycle another one. There's some, you know, protect our waterways, cryptocrates, living with wildlife, whatever you guys can want to do. Yeah.
Well, I think the natural yard care would really fit if, you know, I've tried to find it. I haven't found it yet. But I take your word for it that it's the one to use. Why don't we just...
And then are you going to adopt it? Is that the plan?
He'll write... Yeah, if you guys are okay with the blurb about the Earth Day Ace event.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the change that would be.
Yeah.
I have it here if anyone wants to read it afterwards.
Okay.
Or no, I guess. It's kind of long for me to read out loud, otherwise I could give you a rendition.
And then do we just have to vote on... approving it without having read it?
pretty much. Or I can go print out copies real quick and then bring them right back. And we can push this for 10 minutes.
I think that's a good idea.
Okay. Let me go print some copies.
Well, can we put it on the screen?
Well, yeah.
I need to go get a cable.
Save the paper?
Yes.
Okay.
I need to and it's pretty small. I'll be right back.
We'll zoom in.
While you're doing that, can we talk about the changing the meeting time?
Please.
Marnie, at the last meeting, I think there was a suggestion to move this meeting time earlier.
Okay.
But we didn't make a decision.
Risa wanted it noted that she prefers 5:30 or the same time.
Is there a background information? Is there somebody that really needs that? Otherwise can't come or what?
I think Stuart was happy to get home early with young children. I would be happy to start at 5:30, but I don't have to.
Okay. I would prefer during the day, so once you hit evening, it doesn't matter for me.
The day would be fine with me, too.
How is it for you, Mom?
Evening's much better for me.
And the later time is there?
5:30 is about the same. So yeah. It doesn't matter.
I'm okay happy with to 5:30 or the current time.
I have a meeting from at 4:30 to 6.
Okay.
It isn't that I need to be here the first of the meeting.
Okay. Are you nearby?
I'm at the Art Center.
Uh-huh.
I'm on their board. So that's where I'll be.
Stuart, was 5:30 moving the meeting up a half hour like better for your family?
Oh yeah, I mean any time forward, but it doesn't have to be about me. The composition of this committee has changed a lot in the last couple of years. Well, not dramatically, but this is the commission that has the most people who are here for work, like Pete and Becca and Jamie. So we were just thinking, well, maybe it makes more sense to do that, but it was really just a topic of conversation. I don't. It doesn't work for everyone.
We could do, if it would help, we could do like a doodle poll and have everybody put in the times that they can make and just see what happens.
Yeah, and review it next.
Because we just keep talking about it, I don't know that we'll come.
Is there other times than 5:30 that you guys want to throw out so I can put that on?
Three? 3 to 5 on Wednesday. So.
On any day?
You know, this room is
sounds like we would lose
at 3 o'clock, except on like a Monday or a Friday.
Oh, right. Then
but Mondays are sometimes good in the middle of the day.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, wait, why is this so small? Okay. Can you read that?
Can you do one more? Is that as far as you can zoom in? I'll just stand up.
Raise your hand when you get to the end.
Yeah, but you could just not use heat.
Sometimes it depends on the methodology.
Yeah. Is there
is there mention of success? That's,
probably don't want to get to that level of detail in this article, I would imagine. And we may actually have to, I didn't do a word count on this. I mean, they published it last time, but this looks a little long.
It looks long.
Mm-hmm, it does look long.
We could just, I would propose that we strike the propane user. I have a great natural pesticide recipe. It's just baking soda, clear dish soap, and a little bit of cooking oil. We can actually put in there, to search Google for recipes, and I love that one. And you can,
I move we use it.
Okay. Motion from Brian. With amendments of any kind?
No.
Well, maybe the event date?
Right.
Which isn't on here.
Okay.
I think we talked about that earlier.
Yeah, I think
just inserting the word.
I think can we do it with that, you know, we can edit it for length to, because we're going to try to fit in other stuff like that.
If y'all are okay with handing the ball to me a little bit, we can try to take it tonight.
Sounds good.
It sounds good. I don't feel I'm qualified to comment on the content.
Okay.
It's not my area.
Thank you. Oh, I guess we need to vote, right? Is there a second?
Is that your
second?
I'll second.
Okay. Vote?
Aye.
Opposed? In favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
In terms of mulch, I know that coconut husks are dangerous for mulch. In terms of mulch.
Yeah, they're probably bad for carbon.
Well, if they're mentioning mulch, it'd be nice to say that that's not an appropriate mulch to use. Well, we can keep it to 7:30 if that's our quorum, if you need to go.
I mean, I can be a little flexible.
Okay. Well, I guess it depends on the group here, how much you guys want to dive into the rest. We have...
Can we get back? Because we were talking a little about the new meeting time discussion.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So we just want to get back to that one.
Yeah, let's at least...
And for next meeting, bring it up.
Okay.
So we have 5:30 to 7:30, 3 to 5, any other time?
I guess just 6 to 8 should remain an option.
And then if anyone... We didn't really talk about days, but if you think of days, we can look for meeting room availability.
Because 3 to 5 might not even be an option for us, right?
You know, I think this day is okay. It might get weird if there's November, December, but that always does. So we have to move it up to another, but we can cross that bridge later.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So you have what you need for that one, Elizabeth? Okay.
And I'll send out a doodle poll and bring it back to the screening.
So are you listening for
Wednesday or other days?
I'll just put these times for Wednesdays. The fourth Wednesday, unless you guys have other days preference right now. And we can also talk about other days for the next meeting too. It just might.
Monday is a preferred day if it's going out in a doodle that can be voted on.
Okay. Monday is probably the best day to try to get this room in the afternoon-ish time. So if that worked for everyone, then.
I'd have to be careful. School board is Monday nights, and city council, I think, is Monday nights as well.
That's true.
As long as I'm done before 7, I'm, I can transition from there.
Right.
I have kids
second
Monday afternoon.
Monday,
I know. Life is so complicated.
So it sounds like a no for Mondays?
Well, I don't think we know. We'll add it to the doodle poll, and just so we'll get the results and see what happens, I think.
3 Mondays of the month.
Okay. So we have on the agenda to talk about outreach generally, and there's not a lot of, I think, specificity about the need there right now, except that we could be doing different things. Also, we have subcommittee updates, but we kind of talked a little bit about some of the, you talked about the...
Yeah, on the outreach, is there a specific item that the Climate Policy Commission asked for to engage with?
I think I'd have to go back and look, because I just don't remember all the different things that get put on the minutes. But they do want to encourage the group generally to, you know, take existing programs and go forth. I think they're not counting on themselves doing any of that work.
Right, but there was a specific, was something that they mentioned in the, that I read in the minutes or something that weird.
It should be the SEEP update scheduled for September, so...
Oh, yeah. Oh, actually, and I have that on a different list that I didn't bring here tonight. But so later in the summer, we're going to start looking at updating the SEEP, and hopefully this will be a topic that when we have our joint meeting, which is supposedly April, May, that they're on a timeline to try to do some sort of plan update recommendations by the September, October window. Technically, September is the 3-year anniversary of the ordinance, so that's technically the review cycle. And of course, this group will be part of that process to help figure out what kind of changes should be suggested in the update. And a part of that process will be to engage the community and find out what people have to say about the plan. And I think this is an appropriate group to leverage to kind of get some of that feedback. Question?
Yeah, do you think that that, so is that as a group, this group looks at the SEEP to work on what you're talking about. Do you think the whole group should do that in our regular meetings or as a subcommittee and bring it back to the group?
Do you mean for the plan update or for the outreach piece of it?
Well, I guess probably for both.
Well, I think, I mean, the policy group is definitely driving the update. That's in their charter to do that part of it. It's one of their responsibilities, but they don't want to do it without the insight of this group. So we should talk about timing, and I don't have it, I don't know if I'm the decider, but or who would be, but there's not a timeline set down for that yet. But I'm thinking that probably by June, maybe even ahead of that, we could develop some sort of feedback construct and start putting it out there. I'm not sure who wants to be involved in developing that, but I'm thinking of some kind of a survey, something. And that's not my field of expertise at all, so I would be definitely looking for help. And it's mostly me and the policy group working on the nuts and bolts of, like, which pieces of this strategic plan are not sufficiently refined, and try to refine those enough. Like, there's a lot of our goals that are not really goals. They just say they're aspirational statements. And they could say 10% by this year instead. And so developing those out is going to be a big part of it. But there's a whole other set of work that needs to be done about, like, our adaptation plan. Like, there's not enough concrete stuff in the SEEP about what exactly the community should do for adaptation. There is a lot of suggestions, but there's not a plan. The plan's for emissions and energy, mostly.
And in terms of adaptation, again, there's two components. There's developing how we should adapt and then educating the community,
right?
So our responsibility would be the latter, or would we actually also make recommendations on adaptation?
I think it could. The focus of this group would be on the latter, on the taking an existing thing and spreading it around. But there's a feedback loop with the SEEP where we're going to want to collect information from the public. And I think that this is a good group to do that. I think the policy group will also be doing that. It's yet to be determined exactly how that process is going to go, but I guess it's worth mentioning now because it's going to be on the future agenda.
You know, it seems it would be really, could be a good idea for both commissions together to have a community event, maybe at the college, where perhaps we could draw in some young, smart people that would also have some good input
Yeah.
There are classes that deal with sustainability
sure.
and environment and climate
yeah.
at the college that, you know, that we might be able mm-hmm. to recruit some people.
Yeah, I agree. There's a lot of opportunity, I think, to engage at events. I mean, we have 50th Earth Day coming up here. But one thing that I'm really wanting to keep on the table for the SEEP update is that we need to get feedback from people who've never heard of the SEEP. And we need mm-hmm. to get feedback from people who don't come to Earth Day, from people who live on the far end of town in the mobile home park. Like, I think our plan is really comprehensive, but I don't think it was informed by, like, the full spectrum of opinion in Ashland. Mm-hmm. So I'd like the next version to try a little harder at that. Not that we did a bad job on the first one, it was okay. It was good. But we ran out of time, and there's more, you know, we always want to be improving on it, hopefully.
Speaking for myself, I think it would be really valuable to have a joint meeting between the two groups
yep.
with all the members, not just the leadership, and then kind of out of that develop how we address this three-year
mm-hmm.
review.
I believe Tanya and James were going to schedule that when our first meeting was.
It should be in April. I mean, Tanya's mm-hmm. talked about it.
Yeah,
we've been in action for a few months. That came out of a meeting a few
yeah.
months ago. So we can.
They put it on for April tentatively, but I don't know that they've scheduled the date yet.
No,
haven't.
They were going to send out a poll to everyone.
Okay.
They, yeah. I can contact her and ask, let her know.
Yeah.
To keep you guys updated on that.
Yeah.
Just a reminder that if there's adaptation being developed, it needs to be science-based.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's all sorts of great sustainability we can do, but that's
mm-hmm.
not adaptation unless
sure.
we link it to the actual plan.
Well, I will mm-hmm. lean on your expertise when we get to that.
Well, I was not promoting my own expertise, but just that link seems to be forgotten all the
you
time.
You don't need to promote where you're here.
So.
Okay, yeah, thank you. Okay, well, I guess if there's not any subcommittee stuff to be dealt with that we haven't mentioned, we can, I guess, review the action items and call it good. And Brian can go on his way. Does that work for everyone? Okay. Or we can stay till 8. okay. Action items, let's see here, research leaf blower bans, incentives, McGinnis Cooper, you
yeah,
mentioned
that.
And that has actually been somewhat taken up by the
sure.
by the built environment subcommittee. So we could probably take that one off unless you think there's...
I think it's fine. Is it, yeah, they seem to really
okay.
have taken
research adaptation actions for community presentations. That was Marion. I guess we'll take that off because I don't know the status of that.
Just to add, Reese spoke to Marion, and Reese, Jamie, and I have been looking at the presentation
okay.
and that, so you could keep it on if that's helpful.
Okay, sure. Electric landscaping outreach, that's, I think, more of the... Do you know if James is going to continue anything else with that, or is that conversation more or less wrapped up? With
well,
James?
I think that's what Reese and I are doing.
Okay.
Because it didn't seem to be happy.
Got it.
So
okay. So we can, I think we can call that complete. I haven't heard anything about the TV monitors. I haven't heard anything about the tool library. Is that something we want to keep on here?
Well, I would just mention it came up at the meeting we had with the Ashland Hardware person.
Oh, good.
And they said that if we were to do, well, they recommended, they actually were aware of the activity of Jackson County Library System has something rental or thing library going on, I think, out of Medford, maybe other places. But they said if... That's where the partnership should be, is
mm-hmm.
with the library, because they're already engaged in something.
Oh.
It may not be specifically tools, but it's things. And that if there was, if people were seeking grants or whatever to fund some initial acquisition of things that Ashland Hardware would be happy to give the best possible break, similar to what they give to the city or the school district.
Any next steps for that idea?
Keep it on me. Talk to the library.
I guess someone will have to own the project is the thing.
Yeah.
We could put it on a future agenda.
Right now it's Larry and I.
You and Larry, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, mention, just as a note, that it might be good to talk to the library.
Mm-hmm. So shall we, I guess I'm wondering if we should leave it on as an action item.
Let's leave it on.
Okay.
I definitely want to keep it moving.
Okay.
Right moment in time.
I'll just throw out a pitch. I don't know if the commission can apply for our economic sustainability tourism grant, or if the library certainly could.
Oh, right.
And if someone wanted to work with them
okay.
to write that grant, it's about the easiest grant you can write.
Yeah.
And you know you've done one.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty
easy. When are those?
They're due at the end of March.
Okay.
So pretty soon.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And I don't think Natalie has put the page up on the website yet for that, so I'm just guessing based on last year.
Okay. Thank you.
Hopefully that program still exists.
Yeah, I think it does, but I don't think it's going to be the end of March. Maybe
okay.
a little longer since it's not released yet. But.
So checking with landscapers about electric tools. This, again, is happening at the Built Environment Subcommittee. So I think we can take that off if you all agree. And then locations for presentations. I guess just real quick, and then this could be the last thing, but how many of folks here at the table are interested in kind of continuing what Marion is doing, of doing like living room style presentations?
I would definitely be interested.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because
it would be good to just have one person we could say, oh, if you're interested, we'll all connect you with Marnie.
Okay.
And if you want to take the initiative, that's great too, but I know everyone's time is pretty limited. So. Okay.
And I'd be interested too, and it also links to the conversation Lisa had with Marion about looking at that presentation, building in adaptation, and having had the benefit of also seeing Marnie present at SOU recently, I think there's some other things we could bring in to make it far more engaging with the community, to help them feel empowered around actions they can take and also understand about the impacts that we're already feeling and how we need to adapt. I don't necessarily think setting out the detail of seats is necessarily what the community needs.
Yeah, I'm not sure it is
need.
Either. That was just a starting point.
Yeah, so I was thinking we could work together
sure.
and build.
Would the three of us like to work up version 2.0 and then bring it back to the group?
Lisa and Jamie have been throwing around
okay.
some ideas as well, so
okay.
yeah, if we can do that would be great.
Or if you want to kick it around in subcommittee and then check with me, however you want to do it.
It would be good to have your input, so maybe we could have a separate meeting on that, because it's not really the subcommittee area, it's a different task.
Okay.
So yeah, we can set that up.
Okay.
Okay.
So can you take that action item?
Yes.
I will. Set up a conversation about slideshow 2.0?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like the version number.
Great. Okay, well, let's call it good, unless there's any final comments.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Meeting adjourned. Oh, I got to get a gavel now.
I don't know, I kind of like
the
gavel.
Marty, I found that the only thing I could find for Jackson County Library is that they do
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Ukulele.
Thank you.